Tom Cantor 1, Chapter 14, Text Number, Chapter 15, Text Number 1. Sutta Uvacha.
Sutta Uvacha.
Evam Krishna Sakha Krishno. Bratra Ragya Vikalpita. Nana Sankaspadam Rupam. Krishna Visleshakarsita. Translation. Sutta Goswami said, Arjuna, the celebrated friend of Lord Krishna, was grief-stricken because of his strong feelings of separation from the Lord, over and above all Maharaj Yudhisthira's speculative inquiries. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, being so much aggrieved, Arjuna practically became choked up, and therefore it was not possible for him to reply properly to the various speculative inquiries of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Text 2. Sukena Shushyad Vadana Ritsara Saro Johata Prabhaha Vibhum Tvam Evanusmaran Nashaknot Pratipastitum. Translation. Due to grief, Arjuna's mouth, lotus-like heart, had dried up. Therefore, his body lost all luster. Now, remembering the Supreme Lord, he could hardly utter a word in reply. Text 3. Kritrena samstabhya sucha. Paninam Rijya Nitrayo Parokshena Samunadha Pranayot Katya Katara With great difficulty, he checked the tears of grief that smeared his eyes. He was very distressed because Lord Krishna was out of his sight, and he increasingly felt affection for him. There is a misprint here. So this would be, okay, this is number 4. Sakyam Maitrim Sohridam Cha.
Sakyam Maitrim Sohridam Cha.
Sarat Yadi Susam Smaran.
Sarat Yadi Susam Smaran.
Nripam Agar Agrajam Itiaha.
Nripam Agrajam Itiaha.
Vaspak Gad Gadaya Jira. Remembering Lord Krishna and his well wishes, benefactions, intimate familiar relations, and his chariot driving, Arjuna, overwhelmed and breathing very heavily, began to speak. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Living Being is perfect in all relations with his pure devotee. See, Arjuna is one of the typical pure devotees of the Lord, reciprocating in fraternal relationship, and the Lord's dealings with Arjuna are displays of friendship of the highest perfect order. He was not only a well-wisher of Arjuna, but actually a benefactor. And to make it still more perfect, the Lord tied him into a family relationship by arranging Subhadra's marriage with him. And above all, the Lord agreed to become a chariot driver of Arjuna in order to protect his friend from warfare risks. And the Lord became actually happy when he established the Pandavas to rule over the world. Arjuna remembered all these one after another, and thus he became overwhelmed with such thoughts. So this is very significant. It shows that in life, there are always sequences of activities. And we remember the activities that are most endearing to us. So it could be a grandmother who's especially kind to her grandchild. It could be a mother or father who sacrificed for the child so that the child could grow up to be a good person or well-educated, this or that. I've often heard people, Indians who migrated to the United States. First one relative came, and then that relative sacrificed as much as they could to bring the other relatives. And then when that initial relative who brought everybody else dies, they all say, oh, we're eternally indebted. He did everything to help us. He brought us to America, and we lived with him in his house, and he helped us get a job, this thing, that thing. So, you know, they're very appreciative of those things. But those are mundane things based on sense gratification. But here, Arjuna is remembering all the well wishes, benevolent acts, and family relationship, and subordination that Krishna accepted in order to serve Arjuna and protect him in the Battle of Kurukshetra. So it develops also physical symptoms such as breathing heavily, tears in the eyes, cracking of the voice, so forth. So Prabhupada says, the Supreme Living Being is perfect in all relations with his pure devotee. Now, that's a big statement. What does it mean, perfect in all relations with his pure devotee? And perfect in reciprocation of love and service. If you love someone, you will serve them unselfishly. And you express tender feelings of appreciation and respect, and so forth. And there's no contradiction or contradictory behavior in such a relationship, a pure relationship. In material relationships, there are contradictory behaviors. Some problem can come up in a person who claims to love you, or you who claim to love some person, may become harsh or bitter in one way or another. But in a perfect and pure relationship, as exhibited between Krishna and Arjuna, especially from the part of Krishna, he's always the benefactor, he's always kind, he's always ready to do any service necessary to help his friend and protect him and so forth. So that unalloyed dedication is remarkable. And it can only really be experienced in relationship with Krishna, because all living entities in the material world have latent material desires. As long as those desires are there, there will be some conflict in the relationship. But when one relates to Krishna, and if they do it in a very genuine way, eventually those negative influences go away. One can exchange purely love and devotion with the Lord, because the Lord is offering love and devotion, unalloyed love and devotion from his side. So we see sometimes Krishna had to chastise Arjuna because he was expressing feelings that were out of selfish concern. So there therefore he says, you know, while speaking words of wisdom, you're lamenting for something that's not worthy of lamentation. So he chastises Arjuna. He says that, you know, you're basically like a mundane person here. lamenting, because one who has knowledge laments neither for the living nor for the dead, because they know the soul is eternal. He says, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. So, when we hear this, okay, so the question you asked the other day, or yesterday, or the day before, was, about lamentation for a loved one, or in the case, why the devotees not speak about the disappearance of Krishna? Well, we know that Krishna is eternal. He never more and never dies. So, when a person dies, one sees the dead body that's without consciousness, and they lament. But the body that Krishna left behind was not his body. It looked like his body, but it was not his body. His body is Satchitananda Vigraha. So there's no reason to lament about it. There's no reason to talk about it. It's basically it's a non-event. So those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, the Lord at once took the position of the teacher and chastised the student, calling him indirectly a fool. The Lord said, you are talking like a learned man, but you do not know that one who is learned, one who knows what is body and what is soul, does not lament for any stage of the body, neither in the living nor in the dead condition. Okay, then why would one say, why would one therefore chant the bhajan or spiritual chant, Yea Nilo Premadana, where one is lamenting the disappearance of a pure devotee. Is that right? Yeah. So there's a difference between lamenting for the body of a person and expressing lamentation for the association. So Lord Chaitanya is shedding tears, like Srimati Radharani and the gopis in Vipralamba Bhava, feeling the separation out of love and devotion. Now, is there a difference between lamenting for the body and feeling separation in this higher state of love called Vipralamba Bhava, separation, love and separation? Yes, there is. Because you're not lamenting for the body, which is a temporary thing, but you're lamenting in the sense of relishing the thoughts of your loved one in separation. Therefore, Shakespeare also says, absence makes the heart grow fonder. So if your love is increased by feeling separation from Krishna, that is not a material thing. But if you're crying because you will not see the body of the person that's like a parent or a loved one, to enable to interact for sense gratification, then that's an illusory activity. So one time I was doing a funeral for an Indian man who died, and the daughter of the man came up to me and said, please put this in his hand. I looked at it. I said, what is this? It's his favorite cigarettes. He wanted to hold it after he died. I said, I'm not going to do that. I said, if you want to, you can do it. So, is she expressing love for her father? By the way, he was a smoker and a drinker and a meat eater, right? Is he expressing love for, well, you could say love, but for the body, not for the soul, you see? So that's not real. It's not false, but it's not real. It's illusory. There's a difference between something that is illusory, but at the same time, real. Like, for example, if you say, if you consider a rope to be a snake, and if you look at a rope in the dark and you think it's a snake, that idea that it's a snake is an illusion. But the rope is a fact. The rope actually exists. But considering it to be a snake and then acting as if it's a snake, all that is illusion. So this vipralambhava is actually savoring love and separation. Although there might be shedding of tears and so forth, it's not the same as shedding tears for the loss of the body of someone that you claim to love. Okay, so Arjuna, so as explained in later chapters, it will be clear that knowledge means to know matter and spirit and the controller of both. Okay. Arjuna argued that religious principles should be given more importance than politics or society, but he did not know that knowledge of matter, soul, and the supreme is even more important than religious formularies. So this is an important point. What are religious formularies? Well, you know, you do this Shraddha ceremony, you do this ceremony, that ceremony after death. And it's customary. Even Krishna followed that. Not Krishna, but the Pandavas followed that with Krishna after the death of all the people in Kurukshetra War. And they performed the obsequies or the funeral rites, etc., in a traditional way. But as Prabhupada says here, Arjuna's problem was he was arguing that religious principles should be given more importance than politics or sociology. Okay, that makes sense. But he did not know that knowledge of matter and soul and the supreme is even more important than religious formularies. So there we have a funeral ceremony. And during the funeral ceremony, the daughter of the deceased comes up and wants to hand me a pack of cigarettes, so I put it in the hand of the corpse, right? Because she said her father wanted to hold his favorite cigarettes when he died. Right? And see, that there's nothing spiritual about that. It's all based on the body and mundane thought. So in a sense, Arjuna was somewhat similarly, he was engaged in religious principles, and he thought that they were more important than politics or sociology, but he did not know that knowledge of matter, soul, and the supreme is even more important than religious formularies. And because he was lacking in that knowledge, he should not have posed himself as a very learned man. As he did not happen to be a very learned man, he was consequently lamenting for something which was unworthy of lamentation. So it's unworthy to lament for the loss of the body, material body. But it's not wrong to feel separation from Krishna and feel it so acutely that it actually causes tears of ecstasy rather than hot tears of material loss. Right. Okay. So the body is born and is destined to be vanquished today or tomorrow. Therefore, the body is not as important as the soul. One who knows this is actually learned, and for him there's no cause for lamentation regardless of the condition of the material body. That does not preclude vipralambhava or ecstatic feelings and separation of love for Krishna. It's different than lamenting for some condition of the material body. Hari Bol. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Are there any questions?
Yeah, here is that it appears that the state of Arjuna in the mending, it appears like anybody else in the world does the same.
Yes.
With some reaction of crying, this and that. Basically, so for the materialistic people, that's just like imitation, basically.
Yeah. Well, they're lamenting for the wrong reason.
Right.
It's for the loss of the body. That means they don't understand. They don't understand what? They don't understand what Prabhupada says here, that knowledge of the body, the soul, and the super soul, or Krishna, is more important than religious formularies.
What's the religious formula?
Well, it's performing this final rites, these rituals, right? And then adding something to the ritual, like, you know, put the cigarettes in his hand, right? So the whole thing is based on the body. It's not based on knowledge of the soul.
I listened to Prabhupada yesterday.
So it says here, look, that Arjuna did not know that knowledge of matter, soul, and the supreme is even more important than religious formularies. That's the key. That's in the purport that chapter 2, verse number 11.
Oh, that's
Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. Yeah. Can we read that again, please? It says that Arjuna argued that religious principles should be given more importance than politics or sociology. That's correct, right? But he did not know that knowledge of matter, soul, and the supreme is even more important than religious formularies. Even more important than religious formulas. So he's got it half right. Right? This is the problem. The religious formula, yeah, the religious, you know, what do you call it? Customary practices is not on the same level as knowledge of matter, soul, and the super soul. Therefore, people will be lamenting. You'd say, oh, look how much they love him. But it's they're lamenting for the body, not the soul. It's a hard thing to understand.
Because exactly in this connection yesterday, at least in this lecture program, explaining that somebody, I think his son, father passed away, and then he's lamenting, but he's going to talk to somebody, but he's there, lying there. Who is this going? The Prophet gave very nice answer, said, that means he didn't know the person, actually.
Yeah, he didn't know who it was, really. He just thinks it's the body. That's the point.
Because the body's there, and then you say he's gone.
Yeah.
So who is gone?
What went? So they're lamenting for the body, they're not actually understanding the soul.
They're lamenting for the person, but without knowing who that person is.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Well, they're thinking it's the body.
Right. They mixed it. I mean, they kind of...
They say he's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's right there. Exactly. What you were thinking was him is right there. Then what went? Yeah.
One thing they say, right, he's gone. Then the soul is gone.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they don't know, actually, the process... death, basically.
Well, yeah, it's only the body that dies. The body is not the person. Just like a shirt. The shirt looks like it's the person when it's on the body, but when you take it off, you know, it doesn't look the same anymore. It's just a piece of cloth.
Is that what we said, that actually people, they're looking for Krishna, but they don't know they're looking for.
That's why it says knowledge of the soul, of matter, the soul, and the supreme is more important than religious formularies. So the body is just made of matter. It's different than the soul. And the soul is different than the supersoul. When you mix those things up, then you're lamenting for something that's not worth it. Yeah. That's why he says it's, that knowledge is superior to religious formularies. So one can follow the religious formularies and be a mundane person, an illusion.
So many.
Yeah.
Like in the old religion, they follow. But they don't realize we're not the body.
Exactly right. That's the point. So you have to know what matter is. You have to know what the soul is. You have to know what the super soul is. Hari Bol, all glories to Prabhupada. See, everything is in the Bhagavad Gita. Everything is there. But the Bhagavad tongue is a lot more. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.